You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, the podcast on macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund, where we, as you know, discuss interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events. It's basically your playbook to everything macroeconomics. So if you're interested, lock on. I'm Ahalya, and we've got with us, as always, Srijit Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team. Hello, Srijit. Welcome back. Lots to discuss today. I'm quite excited to dive into this one.
Absolutely. It's a very active world. Things are changing by the day. So yeah, a lot to speak about.
Yeah, absolutely. No one day is the same, thanks to the one and only. You know, tariffs have been left, right and center of all economic discussions this year. There's not a day that goes by where we're not hearing news about or developments on the tariff front. So while countries negotiate and adjust to higher import tariffs imposed by the US, impact on domestic consumer inflation in the US has so far actually been very moderate. Only very few products have seen the pass-through of higher tariffs to CPI inflation. So on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the various reasons why US businesses have been reluctant to pass on higher costs to consumers, what lies ahead, and what this means for the US Fed and, of course, the rate cuts. So, Srijit, jumping right in, what do you think are the main reasons that we have witnessed only a moderate pass-through of higher tariffs to US CPI in the last few months?
Okay, so one basic thing to realize is that it takes a few months for, you know, any ship product to sort of get to the port and then transport it to the wholesaler and from there to the retailer. So there's this whole time involved there. But by now, we should have started to see more impact on inflation, you know, from all the tariffs that got announced in the last few months to some extent, which we have not materially. When we look at the reasons for this, you know, inventory front loading through higher imports before, you know, the various higher tariffs kicked in, that's well understood. And so is the uncertainty on sustenance of these tariff rates, you know, because a lot of discussions and negotiations, like you mentioned, are ongoing. There could also be adjustments to product quality, the source country where these products are imported from, and even offers domestically by companies to push sales quantity instead of just price hikes. A recent study by the San Francisco Fed also found that if you look at consumption goods, actually their import content is much lower. You know, in fact, a larger share of their prices, domestic transportation costs and price markups, which implies a lower tariff pass-through for them compared to investment goods. So there are these various reasons. So in fact, another interesting reason is that we looked at the average effective tariff rate for US imports. So on paper, when you calculate, it is around 17% plus. But if you actually do the calculation for the actual rates on the ground right now at ports, you know, using customs revenue data and goods import data and all of that, it's actually around, you know, 10 to 11% for the month of July. So that's therefore much lower than the 17% on paper number. And that's because there could be some rerouting of goods. I mean, that's possible. But the bigger point is really that the real cutoff date, when the latest tariffs were announced, you know, that happened on 7th of August. And so the cutoff date is actually not 7th of August, but it's actually the 5th of October. So all goods in transit before 7th August and landing in the US before 5th October, they're not charged the new rates. So the price impact of these latest rates will be felt only in, you know, late 2025 or let's say early 2026, given the time it again takes from landing at the port to the retailer. And let's also remember the, you know, the profit margins are very likely, you know, they're very likely expanded during the pandemic, which gives businesses some buffer to absorb these price hikes to some extent. We recently did some interesting work on this.
Okay, fantastic. So many reasons there on why the US hasn't yet seen a major consumer price impact from tariffs. But the last reason you mentioned there on higher business profit margins is quite interesting, Srijit. So could you explain that in a little bit more detail? And was it only for some sectors or was there an increase across the board?
So the question we asked ourselves was whether US business profit margins increased beyond that justified by fundamentals, you know, during the pandemic, let's say from 2020 onwards. If yes, you know, was this meaningful? And like you said, was this across sectors, which then provides a buffer to absorb some price impact for the consumer? No. No, we did an exercise here and it's a bit technical, but I'll just summarize the methodology and key findings. Yeah. So we calculated the underlying inflation as the difference between wage growth and productivity growth. This underlying inflation measure was then subtracted from the actual sectoral inflation or deflators, as we call it, to measure the inflation gap. In short, a higher inflation gap means higher actual price growth versus that derived by fundamentals. And therefore, a higher inflation gap means a higher likelihood of larger profit margins. So we did this exercise by sector from 2017 till 2024. So we have some, you know, annual data before the pandemic as well for comparison. What we found was, one, the inflation pre-pandemic, so that's during 2017 to 2019, was in line with fundamentals across almost all sectors. The other thing is that the inflation gap increased across sectors from 2021 onwards to around 2024 last year at various points. You know, be it in manufacturing, trade, information, or even professional and business services. And finally, no sectors had a big drop in margins more recently, let's say last year, for example, thus not offsetting any gains in profit margins made during the pandemic. Therefore, the bottom line or the summary from all these observations is that the profit margins of most cyclical sectors, including, you know, the goods-oriented sectors like manufacturing and trade, they have likely increased. Mm-hmm. So this, therefore, very likely allows them to absorb some price pressures from higher tariffs, now, particularly as consumer demand is weaker, which is another major factor.
Yeah, I mean, this is such an interesting outcome of the current status of things, and a very interesting study there on likely higher business profit margins acting as a buffer for price hikes. I think that's quite a counterintuitive thing that came out of this. But on weaker consumer demand, I know we've previously spoken about this, but how does it look now? Yeah. What's the current situation like?
So in terms of data, again, delinquency rates in auto, credit card, and more recently student loans have risen. Home affordability and, again, like we discussed before, consumption of services, particularly discretionary services, to some extent is moderate. And the wedge between asset owners and others have, you know, sort of widened. And the more important thing recently is that the labor market is weakened more visibly now. So job additions are much lower. And whatever additions are happening are narrowly driven by the acyclical or defensive sectors like, you know, education and healthcare. And while most cyclical sectors, if you see, they have shed jobs. In fact, the divergence, if you see, between weaker commentary in the Fed's beige book, which sort of compiles the anecdotal information on economic conditions, and the more buoyant hard data that we are seeing, is attributed to this cyclical acyclical gap. And even PMI output price readings, you know, those have also eased, suggesting a modest pass to consumer prices. And all these point to weaker and narrowing underlying growth, although the, you know, headline numbers are quite buoyant. So therefore, this you know, underlying growth being weaker and narrower is a major aspect in firms' pricing decisions. And the price impact has therefore been delayed and could also be more drawn out going ahead instead of, you know, just spikes.
Yeah, I mean, weaker consumer and all the reasons that you just mentioned, you know, if we're going to look at also its impact on the Fed and its decision making, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, so that's the most important part. The Fed can actually draw comfort from this. It is acknowledged that the inflation impact of higher tariffs has so far been, you know, only in some categories, although near-term risk is, you know, is to the upside. Its base case is, again, that inflation from tariffs is likely short-lived, therefore a one-time effect. So, in fact, it pointed to longer-term inflation expectations still being, you know, consistent with its 2% target, although the shorter-term inflation expectations have picked up. And the Fed chair, the September FOMC meeting, noted the risks of higher and more persistent inflation have actually eased since April. And even if one looks at the inflation swap markets, for example, I mean, the basic message is the same, with expected two-year inflation being lower than 1 year, which means, you know, probably the risk of persistence is lower. And in fact, both 1 year and two-year inflation measures in the swap markets have actually eased recently. So there's been a shift in balance of risk towards the visibly weaker labor market, as the Fed cited, and therefore the Fed has cut rates earlier this month. We know the Fed has also relied more on real-time data, and to some extent, understandably so, because there's been much higher uncertainty around, you know, forecasts and projections. If labor market conditions remain weak or ease further, and a moderately elevated CPI trajectory instead of a sharp jump due to higher tariffs and lower likelihood of second-round effects, like we discussed, that puts the Fed's dual goals in less tension. And this therefore supports further rate cuts. And like we've discussed before, this means the US dollar could, you know, therefore stay weak, which sort of aids capital flows to emerging markets and provides more freedom to domestic monetary policy making for EMs.
Yeah, I mean, several reasons why pass-through of higher tariffs to consumer prices in the US has been moderate, and how the Fed can actually draw comfort from this. With that, it's time for me to summarize the key takeaways, so everyone buckle up and make notes. First, inventory or import front-loading, uncertainty on final tariff rates, other non-price measures by businesses, and the fact that the actual average tariff rate on the ground is lower, mainly because the effective cutoff date for new tariffs is 5th October, all imply a delay in pass-through. So the price impact ahead could also be more drawn out instead of spikes being seen. Second, higher business profit margins across sectors in the last few years and weaker consumer demand are particularly important reasons which should flow into firms' pricing decisions. And finally, all of this means the Fed's base case of inflation impact from tariffs being a one-time effect with risk of persistence or a second round effects being low could turn out to be true. And if the labor market stays weak, this moderate outlook on the price impact could aid further rate cuts. This means that the US dollar could stay weak, which, as we have discussed before, benefits emerging markets like India. Fantastic. So thank you so much, Srijit, for, as always, unpacking another macroeconomic concept for me and our listeners. We'll be back next month, so be sure to stay tuned. Hope this discussion was useful to all of you. And until then, bye-bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.